you're listening online, the professor, how do we describe him? He's sort of blue and green stripy. He's got big eyes. He's got glasses. He's got a scarf that I've been told is like Dundee United, but that means nothing to me, so apologies if it's offending anyone. He squeaks. And he's got these lovely antennae. They're bright orange, fluffy balls. Very nice to stroke when you're feeling a bit down. The trouble is, the professor, although he's really clever, he's also very proud. And he will boast to anyone about these antennae. He'll go, I've got these great big antennae. Look, my antennae are better than yours. Mine are orange and fluffy and they're brilliant. Look at them. Now, I'm all for being comfortable in your skin, but boasting about what you've got, not too sure about that. It was something that got me in trouble with my boys, because I don't know about you, but we get round-robin letters at Christmas, and one of my friends used to write, I thought excruciatingly, how her children did. Grades, percentages, every year in their exams, and I thought, wow, that's embarrassing. I would just write, yeah, boys got through another year. And my Tom used to say, Mum, I got a 2-1. Can you not say I've done well? No, you managed, you sorted. So, yeah, that sort of thing never really sat well with me. And it doesn't sit well with me that the professor here likes to boast. Because I don't really like show-offs. Because show-offs can hurt people. I mean, if you're at school with someone who says, I've got the latest trainers, or dare I say, is it the latest Dundee United shirt, or something, and you haven't. I wonder if these people who show off and boast about what they've got, you know, ever stop to think how the people they're boasting to feel? And I know that because I grew up in inner city Manchester, and some were really, really... I remember visiting a friend of mine and she had a double bed in her, double bed? That's for grown-ups, you know. I won't even tell you what else she had. She had a pony and all sorts of things and I thought, yep, not my world. But, you know, it's nice when you've got something new to show it off to friends and family. But to keep going on about it, not so sure. And I don't know what you're going to do when you leave us, but we're going to be looking at a man today called Paul. Do you know anything about Paul? No? That's fine. But Paul is well known in the Bible for saying the only thing he would boast about was Jesus, because Jesus was the best thing ever to have happened to him. Yeah. Listen. And that was something for Paul to say, because Paul could really boast about a lot already. Because not only was Paul a Jew and a Pharisee, but he was also a Roman citizen. And that gave him certain rights and privileges. And it was a really, really big deal. So he had lots to boast about. But then, one day, he met Jesus, and he found that the life that Jesus had to offer was way better than what he had. Well, can you imagine, if Paul goes around suddenly not boasting about how great the Romans are, and believe me, they didn't like anyone who did that, and boasting about Jesus, this did not make him the Romans' most favourite person. But he did, because he thought Jesus was everything, and that's all he ever wanted to boast about, and all he ever wanted to tell people. So, I'm hoping that puts boasting enter a little bit of perspective because I know what it's like at school. Not only did I go to school many, many years ago, I was also one of those dratted teachers, and in the days when teachers used to have to do playground duty, and the fights I used to break up over mine's better than yours. It's not nice. Be happy with what you've got. Show it off to your friends and family. Just be aware of the people around you, because they might not have it. Don't be too boastful around them. And remember that whatever you've got, you may have already, or you will come to know, that Jesus is even better than what you've got. And that will be all you want to tell folks about. And I will leave the mad professor up here, looking at you all. And you can come and have a look at him later if you like, after you go out, because I believe you go out now.
Good morning. Galatians 6. Doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Then one thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Not circumcision, but a new creation. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
We have reached the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he reiterates what is important, and that is they and we are a new creation through Jesus, if we believe Jesus died on the cross for us and for our salvation, to put us right with God. However, this was a difficult concept for some of the newly converted Jewish Christians to understand due to their cultural and religious upbringing. They could not, perhaps would not, put rituals and regulations behind them, and the main one, as we heard, being circumcision. They believed that the promise of God only belonged to the children of Abraham, And the sign of being a child of Abraham was circumcision. Now, on hearing that some of his Jewish brothers and sisters were pressurizing Gentile believers to be circumcised to become the children of God, Paul was very angry and quickly wrote a letter to the Galatians, urging them not to listen to these false teachers, to remind them he taught them a faith free from rituals and regulations, a faith based on grace and love. To ask them, why have you abandoned this to start living under the law again with all its rules and rituals? In Galatians 2, he reminds the Galatians that he has been entrusted with preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, that is, the Gentiles, and that James and John recognize this, and if they had nothing to add to what he was preaching, then why would the Galatians listen to anyone else? To anyone who said there was more they needed to do to be saved. Paul tells them what is going on and why they shouldn't abandon the good news that he has preached to them. So what is going on? The Galatians are living in a time when proclaiming salvation came only through Jesus was very difficult. There was hostility to Christianity, especially as it challenged the set way of doing things. And the set way of doing things was the Roman way, and you just didn't challenge it. And in particular, the Roman way was the emperor's way, and the emperor at this time, as we know, was Nero. And we know how history records the terrible fates Nero handed out to the Christians. Even today, the world can still be hostile to Christianity. Threats of violence, even death, are real for Christians in some parts of the world. Christianity is not loved by regimes, then or now, because it promises freedom and a new life to believers. A new life that is better than the old one, better than the one they have now. Jesus was and is seen as a threat to those in leadership, in authority, and who have power. So, because of the circumstances, Paul is saying to those who are spreading this different gospel to his, you're telling them this to live under the law so you won't be prosecuted for what you're saying. You won't be prosecuted for the sake of the cross. And they're basically saying they're omitting the cross to keep themselves safe. From our viewpoint, and from that wonderful place of hindsight, it's easy for us to go, shouldn't be doing that, we should have known better. But would we have done things any differently in their place? I'd like to think we would, but we're not there. We weren't there then, but we are here now. And as I've already hinted, it's difficult being a Christian in some parts of the world. But what about in our everyday lives? In our place of work? In our socialising? We live in a country that is seen as being tolerant to religions. Do we talk about Jesus? Do our lives show we follow Jesus? Are we too scared of being persecuted for our faith? Being bullied? Perhaps losing friends or family? I have a friend who is now called Christian. I actually don't know his name. I've always known him as Chris. But he is the son of a Hindu priest, who was himself the son of a Hindu priest. In his uni days, he became Christian. It took him a long time, and that's more or less when I met him, just after he'd become a Christian. But he didn't lose his family. Somehow, the way Chris lived his life brought all his family to Jesus. So sometimes perhaps we're just scared of things we think might happen. They may not happen. And Chris is now a Baptist minister. I feel tempted to say there was something in our original church in St. Ed's, because my husband's a minister now, Chris is a minister. We've all gone that way. Just an interesting little point of nothing. But Paul also writes that these teachers wanted them to follow the law so they could boast about the number of people they circumcised. Because obviously that was a big thing if you were Jewish. And Paul says, the only thing that he wants to boast in is Jesus. He's not concerned about being seen as a success in this world. He only wants to tell people to boast about what Jesus has done. For him, for everyone, everywhere, by what Jesus has accomplished by his death on the cross. Cross, which at that time was seen as the most humiliating form of execution, is now to be seen as the beginning of a new creation, made possible through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Paul wants everyone to know this, for everyone to be part of this new creation, to live in the way Jesus has called us to live. Paul, recognizing he's a new creation in Jesus, can no longer belong to the old world he inhabited. Just as we are in these New Testament times, as we wait for the coming of Jesus again. The change can be seen especially in Paul. I've been told you know your scriptures, so here goes. I can't quote you the verse, but you will know Paul went from a one-man bounty hunter of Christians to preaching the good news of Jesus. And this was something he suffered for, and perhaps more so given his background. Paul knows the difference meeting Jesus makes to your life, and he showed it in the way he lived his life, doing as much good and telling people about Jesus as he could every day. This is what he implored the Galatians to do, and what he implores us to do today. Do good while you can. Time is short and the harvest is ready. He has one last pitch. He tells the Galatians, there is a new covenant with God through Jesus, and it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. What counts is whether you're a new creation in Jesus or not. A new creation filled with the Spirit. And if a person allows themselves to be circumcised, to become a child of God, then they're not. They've gone against all Paul has preached, and they're rejecting the new covenant, the new creation, Jesus. Paul, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, does not cease to boast of Jesus. Perhaps we too need to be gripped with that urgency of Paul's boast. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God has given us the time to make sure that the harvest is safely gathered in? Thank you. Just be a quiet moment for you to reflect, for us all to reflect on the passage, and there'll be some very nice music playing while we do that. Thank you.